the 12th of October. I'm a little behind in times here. Today's show is kind of different. We're going to talk about week six in the NFL. That's a given. But we're also going to discuss some other issues. And in particular, we're going to talk about what happened with Adrian Peterson's son. The fantasy impact as well as personal impact. There's a lot that goes on in an individual's mind. You know, everyone that we know of is human. We're all human. So to have something happen to you or to your loved one that impacts you emotionally, not physically, but emotionally, is very, very difficult. Very, very difficult to deal with. So we're going to talk about that. Don't know if my co-host JTATM is going to call in or not. Not sure, but we shall see. But we're going to talk about that, and we're going to go down week six in the NFL. We already had the Chicago Bears defeat the Giants. We're going to talk about that a little bit, too. You know, what are your thoughts on what happened or what's happening with New York? Coughlin has been told it's his option to come back next year if he wants to finish out his contract, da 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 da. He'll be a lame duck coach. So, depending on that, you will determine whether or not he returns the following year, which is 2015. The Giants, they had issues. But you know what? One of those issues, in my opinion, was resolved Thursday night. Even though they lost, I think one of those issues was resolved. We'll talk about that. And anything else that comes up on my mind or we get into once the show is in full gear. But if you want to call in, you can dial 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. And we'll, you know, jump in and engage and stuff like that. If you don't want to talk, you just want to chat, go to our chat room. It's at www.blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. And we'll chat back and forth. I'll try to engage you as much as I can on the chat room. Since I'm by myself right now, we'll see what happens there. But let's get into this AP situation. So, AP leaves his son with his mom in South Dakota. I guess they were visiting or something like that. I'm not sure about the full story. But he's there with his grandmother. His grandmother has a boyfriend. I'm not sure, and I'm not going to speculate if AP knew about this guy or has been around this guy, whatever the case may be. But he left his son, his two-year-old son, with his mom. And what ensued allegedly was The mom's boyfriend gets upset, I guess, because the boy is crying or the boy he's not compliant. I don't know the case, so I don't want to speculate too much. But we do know that the guy physically assaulted the young 2-year-old continuously to the point where the young boy was non-responsive, received a lot of trauma, and had to be hospitalized for a day or so, a few days. And he's put on the ventilator. Now, the ventilator is to help him breathe, help him live. But for all intents and purposes, a two-year-old was brain dead because of what a grown man, an older grown man, decided to do. He wanted to become physical with a 2-year-old. Now, I'm a father. All of my friends are fathers as well. One of my other friends, he has a 2-year-old right now. And boy, it isn't but so tall. And he's a little round. But he's a baby. I believe 2-year-olds are considered toddlers. They're no longer infants and stuff like that, but they're toddlers. Now, I myself, I don't remember this at 2 years old, but I can recall getting spanked. I can recall getting spanked as a kid. I don't know if some of you, you know, have parents that, you know, didn't spare the rod because they didn't want to spoil the child. But, I was spanked with some, you know, some things, you know, switches, little plastic baseball bats and belts and stuff like that. You know, I was beat like that as a kid. By my mom and my grandmother. And I had, you know, the next door neighbor gave me a spanking one time because the community was like that. But at 2 years old, I was never beaten to the point that I was unconscious. I had some bruises on my butt, bruises on my legs, stuff like that. But I was never treated like that. As bad as my mom, you know, beating, or my grandmother or whoever, never. So, let's move forward. AT gets the word that his son is in the hospital. He needs practice. It's reported that AT had to leave because of a young male and his family was hospitalized. That's what we're told. That's what the public is told, which is fine. But then it leaks out that it's his son, and the story becomes, well, AP's mother's boyfriend is the one that did it. And, you know, one of the co-hosts of FSP Crew Show, Black, a.k.a. Mike Wright, post something on his Facebook page, says, prayers go out to up to AP and his family. And I was like, what's going on? So then I scrolled down on my Facebook feed. I see Matthew Berry post something too. And Matthew Berry straight sounded gangster when he posted his. He was like, what in the hell, or something like that. And it was, you know, then I read the story. So AP's son passes away because they decide, okay, well, we're at peace with, there's nothing they can do, so they're going to pull the plug and let the young man, or the toddler, I mean the young man, the toddler, go off to heaven or wherever AP and his family has their faith in. I don't know. But then I see a whole bunch of feeds on my Facebook feed and Twitter feed about fantasy football and how it's going to affect their matchup. I thought that was so classless and disturbing that some people really said, you know, some people were like, well, I don't care if I lose all my fantasy games this week, you know, something needs to be done, da 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 da. And some people were like, well, you know, I thought about it, but then my next thought was, is my opponent going to play AP this week? And I just thought that was one of the worst things a person could post. Now, if you say it out loud, fine. That means only you and your immediate people can hear it. But when you post it, everybody that's on your feed sees it. I thought that was kind of classless because a lot of people have children. A lot of people are against beating children. I'm not one of them. I'm not. But a lot of people are, you know, well, who gave you the right to do it? But right now, all that noise in the background is my co-host, JC18 and Money. I'm going to let him speak on it and give us his thoughts on this topic. And I believe I got my cousin on the line, too, and we're going to talk about this real quickly. So, JC, what are your thoughts on this AP son passing and the situation itself? And then maybe share some thoughts that you saw posted on your Facebook page or Twitter feed or something like that.
Well, this is absolutely horrible, man. You know, to have something like that happen to anybody it's a thing that you're at a loss for words. It's unbelievable that a grown man, 27 years old, would actually do that to somebody who's 2 years old. Well, it doesn't even make a difference if it's 2 years old, but anybody, another human being, that's like, come on. What could possibly prompt you? And this is not the first incident that supposedly he's had doing what he did to somebody that's defenseless. It seems like he's had a history of this, and it's a damn shame. Like I said, prayers go out to Peterson's family and also the mother's family, mother of the child, because I know she's totally distraught, too. She bore that.
Oh, yeah.
That son. So, I mean, she's totally, totally distraught. And she's got to feel some type of guilt because she left her son with this guy and he did what he did. So.
Okay. I mean, I agree with you. I didn't even bring up the mom. I can talk about the mom, too. But let me get my cousin's thoughts on this. What do you think about this, Mike?
Well, AP's son? That whole situation.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an unfortunate situation, and you know, I feel real sorry and bad for the family. But you know, this is gonna sound real cold, but that's about par for the course, Vic. Par for the course. There's a lot of crazy nonsense going on out here, and I say that to you. I mean, because that's all we talk about on GSRT. We talk about endless back and forth nonsense that's going on like this. You know, it's about par for the course. You don't know who's who anymore, you know. I know that when I was raising my kids, you know, I never let them stay with no one other than blood. You know, I just couldn't do it. You know, I feel real sorry for them, and you know, we're going to pray for them, keep them in our prayers or whatever. But the thing you were saying about, you know, them Facebook comments and Twitter comments, man, that's par for the course too, man. It's a lot of people with a lot of vitriol, you know, that's throwing out a lot of vitriol out there about a lot of different things. And it would just peel your skin back, you know, just reading some of the things, just how, you know, despicable some people's minds can, you know, twist things up. But, you know, that's about par for the course on the internet. You know, especially on Facebook and Twitter. It's just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous.
And that's why I brought it up, because I got a friend, and, you know, he said he feels bad for the family, stuff like that, but his first thought was, I mean, his second thought was his opponent going to play AP and da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, a lot of people were like, okay, well, is AP even going to play? And I, for one, thought he wouldn't, because for me, if I just lost my kid, I would be crazy inside, and I don't think I could play a game. But Torrey Smith, who lost his brother last year, he said it's therapeutic. Brett Favre did it when his dad died and stuff like that. He said, you know, it was therapeutic to go out there and play the game, and then you grieved afterwards. And I can see that. I can. AP is already hard to take down to begin with. But to know that his line is going to be blocking extra hard, that he's going to be running extra hard, I wouldn't want to play AP against AP this week myself, but I wouldn't coach that. But I want to talk about, you know, that process. You know, being athletes, excuse me, how that is therapeutic to a person to get out there for 3 or 4 hours and just let it all go. And knowing you have 52 other men out there fighting for you and playing just as hard, if not harder. What are your thoughts about that, guys?
Thank you, Cal.
You know, I don't have a problem with people that whatever their craft is, you know, during, you know, a situation like this, a death in the family or something really catastrophic happens. I have no problem with people, you know, going out and executing their craft, because that's, you know, that's your life's work, you know, and you you're gonna put a lot more, you know, a lot more energy in it and stuff like that, and it's gonna mean, because you want to do something to bring something, you know, some type of meaning back to your life so you can cope. You know, everybody copes differently. You know, some people just like, I can't do nothing. You know, it's just how that person is wired. Each person is wired differently. Yeah, me myself, I'm gonna get out there and apply my craft, bro. You know, if I'm one of the best in the world, and this is something I love to do, and I'm going to do it, that's the first thing I'm going to get out and do, because it's going to be therapeutic for me. I mean, almost immediately, I'm going to be out somewhere. I'm going to be on a microphone somewhere. If I call you and tell you, you know, Auntie gone, you can best believe I'm going to be on a microphone somewhere. You know what I mean? Because that's my life's craft. That's life's craft, and that would be the way that I would deal with it. But, you know, like I said, you know, at different strokes, different folks.
Okay. I agree. What you got, JT?
I have to totally agree with what Mikal has to say. Everybody has a different way of coping. To do something that you do like for your livelihood takes you away from the tragedy that you just witnessed or in, gives you a moment of solace or a moment away from it, give you some type of peace, so to speak. So that's why you see a lot of these athletes, when they go out here on the field, whatever type of field or whatever you do, it's away from, lack of a better term, reality. You're in a different place, and you're doing different things to distract your mind away from the tragedy that you're going through. So, you know, whether he plays or not is irrelevant. It's just a matter of if he does, it's his way of being able to at one point cope with it until he has to actually bury his son. But just like Torrey Smith, it's just another way, a distraction to get your mind off of what's actually taking place and give you some type of peace.
Okay. I agree with that 110%, fellas. I just wanted to bring it up because, you know, this guy is already going to be running hard, but I think he's going to have an extra hard game this game this week. But with that being said, let's transition real quickly into a couple other topics before we get into week six. Fantasy football, since we're on that topic. And I know Jerry has his thoughts on this topic because he's posted them. And we are on the opposite side of it, but it is what it is. I'm talking about Rick's league. If he's not on here, I wish he was on here to discuss it. But we'll talk about
it. We can talk about it. Fine. It's fine.
All right. Well, here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. It's a very different and unique league. Very different and unique. Defenses or defensive special teams can make or break your team and season.
Big time.
Yeah, big time. Extremely.
Yeah.
To the point that after reviewing it all, you would want to draft your defense number one overall. That's how big of a difference it is. A quarterback makes three times as much points than anyone in the league, except for the defense. The defense
right.
makes two times to three times as much as the quarterback.
Yep.
So, with that being said, you know, you put the disclaimer out, everybody needs to look at the settings, da-da-da-da-da, which I did. I did not look at all of the special teams yardage and things of that nature. And that's where it's killing me. Because he's getting 1 point for every return yard that a special team and team defense gets. So, in my opinion, it's a crapshoot because 1 week you might have the best defense because somebody decided to kick to Trenton Holiday or to Devin Hester, and you're getting bad return yards.
Come on,
next week, a team might decide to kick away from them. And you lost those yards. So here's the deal. And I put the example up in the league because I talked to him about it week two privately. And then week three, I was like, what the hell? And then week four, it really did me in because I would have won the game had it been just, you know, not a standard PPR for defenses, but a one that wasn't so inflated. But it's okay. I'm 0-5. I'm taking my lumps. We've got 10 more games to go. I'm not going to sweat it right now. But the bottom line is that the situation is this. You can have the worst defense in the league, which I picked up in Philadelphia. Philadelphia stays on the field a lot, so they get a lot of tackles, and they get a lot of return yards and stuff. Well, prior to that, I had St. Louis's defense, which is a very good defense in the NFL. Well, they're ranked at the bottom of the in the fantasy league settings. So, the bottom line is this: the week I got upset and posted something to the league, the team defense scored 240 some odd points, and the rest of it, my opponent's team scored 300 and something. My team defense scored like 60 or 70, and the rest of my team scored 400 and something. So I lost by all over 200 points because of team defense. And that week, Chicago got the crap kicked out of them by Detroit. Cutler threw buku interceptions. Pretty much Chicago's defense did nothing that game, but they scored 240 points. So I make the post, something has to give, and da-da-da-da, and yada-yada-yada. And again, I did look at the settings. I did not peruse the special team settings
completely because when I did look at him, it was like a little bit before the draft, and I made a statement during the draft or shortly after the draft that Aaron Rodgers would have been the number one pick overall because the quarterbacks get three times the points and da-da-da-da-da. So I didn't petition for the scoring to change, but I wouldn't be mad if it did change. So several other people agreed with me, and me and Ricky went back and forth. He just, you know, was very ignorant in what he was saying to me. And I get it. You know, that's the way he and I talk sometimes, but it's not out on a forum for everybody to see. It's between boys. So anyway, then a lot of other people in the league chimed in, and Jerry, you chimed in and said, you know, man up with your panties and all this other mess and da-da-da-da-da. So now one of the other league owners happens to be Jeff the Joker from FSP Crew Show. He posts a poll asking the league to vote on whether or not we should change the scoring at this point. Now, again, if you change the scoring at this point, all those previous wins that some people had could change to losses, or it might not. It might not. But the chances are it would, because a lot of teams won based upon that inflated defensive scoring. Now, Jeff has the poll up. Right now it's 6-3 in favor of changing the scoring. So half the league wants to change. And I told Rick that in a post, and he chimed back making these dumbass comments saying stupid stuff like I'm wrong, and the poll is right there, 6-3. So Rick comes back and says, well, you know, the only way he would change it is if it was unanimous. And of course it can't be unanimous because he's not going to vote to change his own scoring. And he offers to pay people half their money back and da-da-da-da-da, and he goes on this several posts tirade about how, you know, people don't know what they're doing and they need to get in, understand, and this other stuff. So whatever, it's his league, his rules, and we adjust. So now, if you don't tell Rick you want out of the league by Sunday, you get no money back, and you know, stuff like that. Now I'm not going to jump out of the league, but I can see maybe one or two people who have privately messaged me saying they would. So my thought is to you, Jerry. I know you're against changing the rules because the season already started and stuff like that, but if half the league feels that a change needs to be made, as a commissioner, would you post the stuff? Did you read the stuff Ricky posted, by the way?
Let me tell you what happened, okay? I read every last message that you guys posted, and you quite naturally I posted a couple of messages, including one last night, and I voted last night. Now,
but you didn't read nothing from today?
No, I haven't read anything from today. No, I've been out. In fact, I'm out. I'm working right now, but I'm taking the time to talk to you. But so I have no idea what's on the message board now, and it's irrelevant to me. What's on it? Because whether they want it, whether they don't, it doesn't make a difference to me, okay? I'm going to play it one way or the other. I could care less. If this is not going to rest, I told Ricky this in the text, this is not going to stop until it gets changed. That's obvious to me. That's obvious to me. Everybody, a few are screaming about it, you included, about
yeah.
the point. But, you know, like I emphasized before, we all knew, and he even said, make sure you look at the settings before the draft. And he said it more than once. And
yeah.
This league is different. And I've posted on the message board. Every league is different. This is different. Very different. Okay? So when it doesn't go your way, when you didn't really look at the settings, and now you guys are upset about what's taking place, that the defense is scoring so many points. I know it's a wacky point system, but this league is different. And, you know, you guys want to change it? Fine. You want to change it? Fine. I'll play either way. It doesn't make a difference to me. And the reason I voted, I,
I voted to change it for the simple fact that I'm tired of looking on the message board and see everybody crying about the settings. It doesn't make any sense. You all knew what he told you what to look at the settings before the draft, and now week three, week four into the season, you get upset because you don't like the way the scoring system is. Now, you want to change it? If you change it, he wants all 12 to vote. He's not going to change it until all 12 vote, regardless if you have a majority
not. No, he's not changing it unless everybody agrees to change it. And everybody's not going to agree to change it.
No,
it says unanimous.
No, it
says I'm not going to change it unless it's a unanimous decision to change it. That's what it says.
Unanimous? That makes no sense.
Well, that's what he put. I mean, I told you, dude.
Well, what can I tell you?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I said. You haven't read the stuff that he put up because it's like on two different posts.
Well, I thought he said that I'm not going to change it until everybody votes. That's what I thought I read.
Well, yeah, he has that part. That part is there, but it also says it has to be a unanimous decision to change. And I'm not going to happen.
I thought he said, I'm not going to change it until everybody votes and it's a majority that want to change it. That's what I thought I read.
Unanimous. It says unanimous. It's, yeah, it's three different posts. But, I mean, regardless of that, like I said in my previous post, that I was, like in one of my earlier posts, if it doesn't change, so be it. I'll adjust and keep going. But at the same time, you know, you got half the league. It's 12 teams in the league. Six teams are saying so far, change it. Three have said don't change it. And one of them, which is Jay said he doesn't want to change it because he's 5-0. And Jay knows that if you change the scoring to what it's supposed to be, or not what it's supposed to be, to something that everybody can agree on, he's not going to be 5-0.
Yeah, but what everybody's going to agree on? What's everybody going to agree on now? That should have been discussed before the season, not now. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, that's part of it, though, because remember, Ricky was trying to find people at the last minute to fill the last, like, three or four spots or whatever it was. So when I looked, I didn't look at special teams.
Whose fault is that? Whose fault is that?
I didn't say it was his fault that I didn't look there. What I'm saying is that when you look at everything, a sorry defense shouldn't get the most points or be like the top thing in fantasy football.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. When I saw it the first week, I realized, and I said, okay, it's different. So you got to do something different. And I put whatever defense I put in there just to see what's going to happen.
I picked the Philly, and Jeff and a few other people posted, well, giving return yards to special teams folks, that should go away. And I agree. Because, yeah, you're going to give if you're going to give a return for something, give them a touchdown for making a touchdown. Not a yard, a point per yard. Because when you give them a point per yard, all somebody has to do, a defense can be terrible, like Philly.
Right.
Philly is
terrible.
But they get mad return yards because they get kicked off a lot on.
Right.
So, you know, a defense like, for instance, Dallas put up almost 600 yards on Denver, right? Almost 600 yards and scored. It's called 48 points on them, right? But how many points? But Dallas was one of the highest scoring defenses last week, and that doesn't make any sense. I mean, Denver was one of the highest scoring defenses last week, and that makes no sense at all to me. So, but I mean, hey, again, I'm not saying, you know, revamp the entire system. What I'm saying is, if you get rid of those return yards, then I think it's an even playing field for everybody. That way, a true defensive scoring system is in place. It's not hinged upon well, this week, this person's going to get return yards. Because you never know who's going to punt the who. You never know if they're going to punt the ball to Devin Hester. You never know if they're going to punt the ball to Tristan Holliday. But, I mean, that's part of the crapshoot. And I understand it. It's different. But, it is what it is. Real quick, Matt, you're outsider on this. What do you think?
Oh, I got lost. I stopped paying attention about 7 minutes ago.
But it sounds like,
you know, Ricky trying to run the world, you trying to run the world, and y'all done bumped heads. So that's what it sounds like.
It's his league. I said do what you're going to do in your league. It's his league. My thing was, you know,
but you,
and it's not because
gonna
I
tell,
was losing.
But you're going to tell him how to run it, right? No.
No, I didn't tell him how to run it. No, I brought up the issue. Because I was like, dude, something's got to give. You know, the fact that Chicago gets blown out and they still score 240 points, which is pretty much the difference in a win and loss between me and the opponent. It was crazy.
Yeah.
They got 240 points, and they were getting blown out, and all they were getting were return yards. They were getting return yards off of kickoffs. They were getting all those points off a kickoff. And that doesn't make sense because a person can get 40 or 50 yards on a kickoff return and the team doesn't get a field goal or a touchdown out of it. But because you gave each special teamer those points, you know, that defense gets 50 points just for a kickoff return. You know what I mean? That was the thing that didn't make sense to me.
I don't know. That sounds like some schematic in the fantasy football calculation. Y'all got to figure that out. Y'all got to figure that out because that don't sound right. If a defense gave up like 40 some odd points, but that defense scored a lot of points on the fantasy football, that don't sound right.
That's my point. That's exactly my point. Denver was like the number two scoring defense last week, but they got almost 600 yards on them, and they gave up 48 points. So it doesn't make sense. But, I mean, simply, I'm going to let him do what he does. I just brought it up. Yeah, I mean, I'm the oil. I'm the fly in the ointment, but I wasn't alone. That's the thing. And when I opened up, others opened up, and even the guy that was 5-0, he said something's got to change. But then when he realized that his record would change, he changed his tune. So,
I mean, but if it was in the bylaws and stuff, or, you know, if it was in, you know, the disclaimers in the beginning of how it was going to be, you know, that's what's up.
It was.
You can't argue with it after the fact, you know, because you ain't winning.
That's my whole thing, Macau. That before the draft, Ricky put out a disclaimer saying, "Check the settings before the draft." He did. He put it out more than once. And now everybody, week three or four, people start screaming because what they've never seen before, they're seeing now, and it's different.
Right. Yeah, that's always a stickler, you know. Don't sound like Ricky don't is too good with managing his take over the world prospects, but he gotta work that out, you know what I'm saying? You can't have all the inmates upset because eventually they will have a mutiny on their hands, especially if you got somebody, you know, with my blood in there, you know, as one of the inmates leading the revolt.
Whatever,
you know?
Dude. It's true. But no, you know, I mean, that's all I wanted to say on it because, you know, it's something that he designed and stuff like that. when he told me that, I thought he said it, he copied mine. He said it was similar to my defense and stuff like that, or to my scoring system. I was like, okay. So I just went over it briefly and saw the things that were similar and noticed that the quarterback had more points. And I mentioned that. But other than that, you know, I didn't look at special teams. I admit, I did not look at special teams. I looked at defense. I looked at, okay, you get a tackle per defensive tackle, which is fine. But I did not look at special teams. And maybe, yeah, that is my fault. But I'm not the only one complaining about it. And, yeah, I would love to have a win. But if I lose every game this season, you know, it's going to be because I'm trying to figure this out. Like, who's going to punt to who every week? Because it's not scientific to me. You can't figure it out week to week who's going to get those yards and who's not. It's always a crapshoot. That's why I call it a crapshoot. But anyway, let's move on to week six. We got about 50 minutes left of live air, so here we go. Last week we talked about Chicago, New York, and I picked Chicago. I think everybody picked Chicago. Look, Rick picked Chicago. Jerry, I know you picked Chicago. I'm not sure about you, Mike. Did you pick Chicago or New York?
I don't remember. I picked them to lose one of them games, but I picked them to win another one. I don't know which one I picked them to win, but one of them I picked them to win, and I'm not sure if it was Chicago or not.
Yeah, I think you picked them to lose to Philly from Chicago, but it's all good, whatever. Let's move on to Sunday, the 13th, Green Bay at Baltimore. Interesting game because Baltimore is in a situation where they're suffering that Super Bowl slump or that Super Bowl jinx, so to speak. And Green Bay, you know, they want to run the ball. Eddie Lacy's done a decent job, but they're finding that their bread is buttered more so in the passing game. And Baltimore's susceptible to the pass this year. I'm going to pick Green Bay to win this game, and it won't even be close, in my opinion. We're going to go Mike and JT for the rest of the picks.
I like Green Bay. You know, I really like Aaron Rodgers. I feel like they're gonna get their stuff on track. You know, I can't see those other teams even. You know, I see those other teams competing with them closer this year than they have in the past. But I still don't see them not coming out on top. So. I got them winning this game, coming back and putting everybody on notice.
The Packers had a week off, coming back off a bye. It's basically 2 weeks to prepare for the world champs. They're not the world champs like they were last year. Not even close. They are pretty tough against the run, but they can be torched quite a bit, and I think that's going to happen. My opinion, I think this is going to be a shootout. But in order for Baltimore to keep up with Green Bay, they're going to have to throw the ball. And the good thing about Baltimore and for fantasy players is that Flacco is playing home. He doesn't play that well on the road. He plays a lot better at home. But I still like Green Bay.
All right. Cincinnati goes to Buffalo. To me, this is a no-brainer. You got a rookie quarterback from Duke University. Now, the kid can throw. The kid can throw. But he's a rookie from Duke starting for Buffalo. Cincinnati is coming off of a win last week versus the Patriots. And they're moving in the right direction. They're using both Ben Jarvis Green Ellis and Giovanni Bernard. But the one missing person has been A.J. Green. Where has he disappeared? After week two, he hasn't been around. But I think that since Buffalo has a very bad run defense, both the law firm and Giovanni Bernard have a heck of a game, and Cincinnati goes to Buffalo and wins this game. Mike.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. I think Cincinnati take this one easily. Easily.
All right.
Well, I have to beg to differ from both of you guys. If you look at the statistics, Buffalo is much better at home than they are on the road. Two of the three games that they played at home, they've had double-digit fantasy points for the defense. Cincinnati's having trouble scoring points. I like Cincinnati in this game. I mean, I like Buffalo in this game.
With the rookie quarterback from Duke?
He's going to run like crazy. And let me put it this way, and I've said it before, and you guys poo-pooed me before when they did it with these rookie quarterbacks. When they put a quarterback in there and everybody thinks this guy is going to fall flat on his face. The last time it happened was with Mike Glennon and Tampa Bay. And he played well, but they lost the game, but he played well. I think this kid's going to maybe do the same thing. It's quite naturally going to run the ball. But he's an unknown quantity. No one knows about him. Doesn't have no really any kind of decent tape on him. So Cincinnati's going to be playing by the seat of their pants because they don't know about this quarterback. I like Buffalo, especially playing at home. So he's in his comfort level because he's playing at home. If it was on the road, it would be a different story, but he's playing at home. So I like Buffalo in this game.
Okay, well, that's understandable. But I would look back at Duke, the time he was at Duke, and see what type of passes he's good at and what type of passes he's not, and see how he works under pressure. I mean, he just came from Duke last year. So there is tape on him. So, well, we'll see. We'll see. Now, to another game that I'm looking oh so forward to, as should you, Jerry. Now, this dude kind of upset me last week because at the last minute, the organization decided to sit him. And this week, he has practiced, but he still has a game-time decision. But he's going against a very, very tough defense and a very, very talented cornerback. I'm talking about Detroit at Cleveland. Even with Brandon Weeden behind the trigger, Cleveland is still a good team. Willis McGahee, the old man, is showing that there is something wrong with Trent Richardson. Because if a 30-something-year-old can find the holes and run hard and make this happen with that offensive line, and Trent Richardson can't even be the goal line back for Indianapolis right now, something's wrong. Something's wrong with that Bama prodigy. I don't know what it is. But Detroit goes to Cleveland, and quite naturally, because of my wager with Jerry, I'm picking Cleveland. But I think Cleveland is going to win the game anyway. I think they're just better than Detroit is, especially with a banged-up Megatron. And last week you saw, when they played Chicago, you saw how ineffective Matthew Stafford is without Megatron. But you also saw that Brandon Pettigrew is somebody you might want to pick up. Brandon Pettigrew is somebody you might want to pick up. So if Megatron doesn't play. But with that, let's go to Mike and Jerry.
If Megatron plays, this game over. Detroit should take this. Well, Megatron and Reggie Bush, that should be enough to clown out these Browns. But if only one of these gentlemen play, the Browns will win.
All right, well, this is a tough game for me. I know all the firepower that Detroit has. The problem is I didn't like what I saw when they played Green Bay last week. They played Green Bay last week.
Last week?
Detroit played Green Bay last week. I didn't like what I saw on the road with them. And it's really not a gauge because the fact is, even though they didn't have Megatron, they didn't play well. So I don't know whether it was them playing on the road against Green Bay or whether it was
Green Bay. It was all Green Bay.
or if it was because of they didn't have Megatron and it kind of disrupted what they wanted to do on offense. I have to think that they'll play better. This is the second road game, and its defense is pretty good, especially in the past. I'm talking about Cleveland. I'd have to think I would go to this is a real tough game. Cleveland's playing well, and they have a tough pass defense. I'm going with Detroit. I take a shot. I'm going with Detroit. I think they rebound.
You're doing that for the bet. You're not doing that because of Locker.
No, I honestly think Detroit, they're going to play better. If Megatron comes back, they're going to play a lot better. They'll be more effective on their offense. And that includes Reggie Bush. Megatron's out there, Reggie Bush is a lot more effective. So I got to believe that they're going to play better. So as long as Megatron plays, I'll take Detroit.
But if they don't, you still taking Detroit?
If they don't, no. The offense is going to get stymied, and it'll be Cleveland winning the game. But Megatron, for all intents and purposes, is playing this week, so I'm going that way with Detroit.
All right. Next game, St. Louis goes to Houston, where you have the turnover machine, Matt Cotton Schwab, and Jerry now, listen, guys, I want to put this out there. It happens to every team that Jerry supports. First, it was the Jets. And we saw the downfall of Mark Sanchez. Now, it's the Houston Texans and Mr. Schwab. Now, he's on a short leash. He's on a very short leash. If he throws another interception,
hey, Vic.
TJ,
go to
what?
Vic, go to Jerry before you come to me.
All right, not a problem. You got a very short leash. TJ Yates is ready to come in. I see them running the ball more because St. Louis has a bad run defense, and Arian Foster has been coming on as of late. So, you know what? In an upset, I'm going to pick St. Louis, even though my heart's with Houston.
Don't talk.
Go ahead, JT. With you. This is your team.
Hey,
I dare you to pick against them.
You know,
I dare you.
Vic, let me tell you something. I was waiting for one of you guys to bring that up. I really was. I honestly was that because I'm rooting for this team. Now they got problems. But this is no brainer to me. They're going to run the ball. This is going to be a two-headed monster, meaning Ben Tate and Arian Foster. They're going to run the ball. Plain and simple. And use a very short pass game with Matt Schaub. Like you said, he's going to be in a short leash, very short leash. And a lot of people, and I don't know why, because I've seen this kid play the season that Matt Schaub was hurt. And a lot of people are downplaying how this kid can play. I don't know why, because when he was a rookie, he played very well. Extremely well, in one game into the playoffs. So he's more than capable, in my opinion, and I think he's just gotten better over the last few seasons that he's been sitting and watching, because he had an opportunity to play because of Schaub is a starting quarterback. But if Matt Schaub goes and does his thing that he's done in the last four games, throws another pick six and does pretty bad in against St. Louis, I have all the confidence in the world in TJ Yates taking over. Right now, it's them taking Houston.
All right. Mike. I think Mike is doing something. So, anyway. Huh? Oh, by the way, you know I made you and Coonasses. You know I made you and Coonasses the game of the week this week, right?
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I saw that.
All right, well, here's what he has to say. He says,
okay,
you got rock gut if you think I'm losing this week. The matchups are there in my favor. Not to mention Peyton Manning is playing Jacksonville. To think that I will lose just makes it more clear why I kick your butt each and every year we play. No, he doesn't. That trophy is coming to Cajun Country this year. You can believe it. But I will give my best wishes and good luck to my opponent this week, Jerry. Just don't take this butt whooping personal. Everyone gets their turn, too. Ha, 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 ha.
That's okay. You know what? I'll wait until the game is over, and then I'll put a press conference out there. How's that?
That will be interesting.
Yes.
I try to do that.
One way or the other. I guarantee it. One way or the other, whether I win or lose, I'll put a press conference out there.
All right. Go ahead, Mike. We're talking about the St. Louis Houston game.
Yeah, and they playing in Texas. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh man. You know, Matt Schaub has just been having a rough go at it, man. You know, he's been throwing some picks here and there and stuff like that. I think his run is going to be a up if he doesn't get it together. I'm going to go out on a limb and go with the Texans on this one. I think this game is going to show his grit for real. Because if he can get out there and put it together, you know, in this game, I think he can stop that downward spiral. However, if he don't, that's a wrap.
All right, let's move on to the next game where we have what do we got? Carolina at Minnesota. Now, this is the game that we're talking about. This is the game we're talking about now. It's tough because AP is going to run all over these boys. I'm just telling you, Carolina is sorry as it is, but I don't see any way they beat them. None. So, there you go. I got Minnesota.
I'm going to go with Minnesota on this one, too. I just have no faith in that, in that coach that they got there. I think he's absolutely the wrong type of coach for Cam Cameron. I mean, damn, I called him Cam. What's his name? Cam Newton. I think he's the wrong type of coach for Cam. I don't particularly think they have enough firepower around him. It's just, it's what, the third year, and he still has to surround him with, some more time. This is just disgusting. I do like defense. I do like that linebacker that they got on defense. Young is a beast. He be out there tackling, hitting, doing everything he can do, but he can't do it by himself. But, yeah, I'm going to go with the Vikings on this one.
All right. Okay.
Well, they're playing in Minnesota, right?
Yep, they're playing in Minnesota.
All right. Well, this team's going to be inspired. This team is going to be extremely inspired. No one beats an inspired team like they're going to be. I have to go to Minnesota. Short and simple.
Okay. Let's go on Oakland and Kansas City. Now, Oakland, they have one of the best defenses in the league, one of the best. And it's not clear whether Christian Ponder is going to be able to throw the ball consistently on target or not. But we know he can run. We know that Darren McCollum isn't playing.
Who are you talking about?
No, I said Pryor, Terrell Pryor.
No, you said Christian Ponder.
Oh, my God, I'm thinking of something different. I'm sorry. I meant
That's that old age creeping up on you, Slim.
Yep.
It is. It is. Not Christian Ponder. Terrell Pryor.
We know he can run.
But if he can just somehow, some way, get the ball to Jacoby Ford downfield or Rod Streeter downfield or try to make this a passing attack type of game, we know that Mr. Smith can't do that. And a lot of people are picking Oakland in an upset, but it's in Kansas City, and Oakland doesn't play them well in Kansas City. I'm going to pick Kansas City to win this game, but it's going to be closer than a lot of people think. Go ahead.
Oh, this game isn't. This game is not even going to be any. It's not even going to be close. I mean, if you didn't know, the Guinness Book of World Records will be on hand to record the decimals at Arrowhead Stadium. They're going to be trying to break the record, so they're going to be pumped up. They are going to be pumped up. That stadium is going to be pumped. That team is ready. It's legit. You know what I'm saying? I was out, you know, visiting the good folks of Kansas City. You know, shout out to them. Had a good time down there. Oh, my goodness. The intensity that up there is on, like, 100. They are psyched. And I don't think that enthusiasm is warranted. That Kansas City's defense is playing very well. Andy Reid has got that offense thinking and dunking like it should for a quarterback like Mr. Smith. So I don't even think this is going to be a close game. The Raiders are just a mess.
First, I have to say Kansas City. And the reason I think it's going to be closer is that I know they're going to try to set the record, but Kansas City plays a pretty conservative offense, especially at Alex Smith does dink and dunk. So that leads to very few explosive plays. So they'll play defense and be somewhat conservative with Alex Smith and go away with the win in Kansas City. Oakland's no way going to win that game.
Okay. Pittsburgh goes to your JTES. Now check this out. Check this out. I was surprised as all get out that the Jets handled Atlanta the way they did. I understand the defense is good. I really do. Geno Smith looked better than expected. I mean, I don't know what to think of the Jets. I really don't. They're a lot better than what I thought. But Pittsburgh, they're not looking good at all. Le'Veon Bell can come in and get two touchdowns, and they still lose. Ben Roethlisberger throws 300-plus yards, and they still lose. I don't know. I would hate to pick. You know what? Just because I pick the Jets against the Jets all the time, I'm going to pick Pittsburgh. I'm going to pick the Jets, and Pittsburgh's going to win the game. So that's my logic. I'm picking the Jets, so Pittsburgh's going to win. Jerry should be happy with that. But go ahead, Mike.
Wow. I am about to do an about-face and just go ahead and eat some crow because Younger did look good. You know, he keeps stepping up, but he was like the last minute, or he'll do it like in the beginning and then at the last minute. So I mean, I can't get a good read on it. I'm not picking against for these Steelers. These Steelers ain't shown me nothing. They haven't shown me anything. You know what I'm saying? And this is what have you done for me lately, league? And the Steelers ain't done nothing for me lately. So I'm gonna go with the Jets.
Okay, everybody jumping on that Jet bandwagon. Let me tell you something. They're playing in MetLife Stadium. That's the only redeeming factor. Pittsburgh and the Jets always play bad against Pittsburgh. The majority of the time that they've played Pittsburgh in the last few years, they haven't fared well. They've lost the games. And Pittsburgh is coming off a bye. They'll be pretty inspired. I know they look bad the first 4 weeks. I'm taking Pittsburgh in this game, and it's going to be a mild upset, but it won't be an upset in my mind.
All right. Well, no, no, no. People are saying, well, yeah, you're right, you're right. Now, to a matchup, and again, I posted this in my league, and I strongly believe it's true, because the talent shows something different than what's going on the field. I think that Tampa Bay's tanking to get rid of Greg Schiano. I really do. And when Philly goes down to Tampa and handles Tampa Bay, I think Greg Schiano will be on the hot seat at some point, because people are like, no, there's no way the Tampa should lose to Philly. They've got Doug Martin, they've got Vincent Jackson, they've got Mike Williams, they have a very talented defense, and Philly just sucks, because Michael Vick might not play, though there's a chance he will play. But Philly's going to go in there under either Vick or I can't think of the guy's name right now.
Nick Foles.
Yeah, Nick Foles, and destroy Tampa. I think they're going to totally destroy Tampa. Let me get your thoughts on it.
Man, I've been saying that this coach down here is a dunce. And I don't know, excuse me, I don't know what's going on with that front office down there in Tampa Bay. I mean, you let go of Mr. Freeman, and now he's in Minnesota, which is totally crazy to me. And, you know, I got an earful of that from the good folks of Kansas City. So I'm going with Philly.
Okay.
Well, I'm a person to go against the grain, and Tampa Bay, if I'm not mistaken, they're coming off a bye too. Am I right?
Who?
And they're playing. And they're playing at home. So for the most part, a lot of these guys are rested. I mean, and except for the guys that are breaking down with this Marissa. I got to go with Tampa Bay. I know Philly's got a nice offense. Have a horrible defense. I think you're going to see a lot of Doug Martin. They're going to be running the ball. And Mike Glenn's got a chance to get himself situated a little bit more than he had in the first game he played. And he had a bye week to get his act together. And now he's opening up the rest of the season with Philly, who's got a horrible defense. I like Tampa Bay at home.
All right, let's move on. I mean, you can pick them. I don't think it's going to happen. But this one, now, I think we all can agree that Denver's going to win. But my question is the point spread. Is this a college-size point spread?
Yeah, this is shame.
Now, but the thing is, Jacksonville has beat Denver the last three or four times they played them. Straight up.
Mm-hmm.
They've beaten them straight up the last three or four times they played them, whether
mm-hmm.
it was in Denver or in Jacksonville. This happens to be
mm-hmm.
in Denver. And Jacksonville's defense isn't that bad. It's just their offense is crappy. But Chad Henne is going to start this game, from what I was told. Well, Chad Henne starts the game, and Chad Henne gets the ball to Cecil Shorts and Justin Blackman, and MJD does some running, which I'm not sure he will be able to do, it'll be a closer game. So I'm going against the point spread, but I'm still picking Denver. But for all my bettors out there, go against the points. Take the points in this one. Denver will not cover. Let's go.
McCall's not there.
Go on. He's doing something. Go ahead.
I like Denver. Point spread. I can't believe they're going to cover that point spread. What is it? 28 points. Whatever it is. I don't. This is a still an NFL team, not a college team. This is not a college game. I don't think they cover the point spread. Hello,
Mike. I will move on. Interesting game, but because we're playing, I'm going to pick the home team. Tennessee goes to Seattle. Seattle comes off that devastating loss to Indianapolis because it was a game they should have won. But Andrew Luck and T.Y. Hilton go off and show Russell Wilson that beast mode isn't the only mode that's available. T.Y. mode is available too. Speaking of which, I want to thank my friend Chris, who talked all that trash while I was in D.C. and in Maryland. And he got beat today. Yes, it's the first time I beat him in about 20 years in Madden. Yes, it is. But I told him he wasn't going to beat me, and he did. We're going to see part two later on today, probably. But anyway, Tennessee goes to Seattle. Because it's in Seattle, I'm picking the Seahawks. Now, if this was in Tennessee, even with Fitzpatrick, I think I'd give it to Tennessee because Chris Johnson is due to have a breakout game. But other than that, I think it's going to be Seattle. Mike, if you're there, say something.
He's not going to have a breakout game in Seattle. He won't have a breakout game in Seattle. That's not happening.
Chris Johnson is
not the Chris Johnson of old. Seattle, in Seattle. And if you think Kansas City can trying to break the record, Seattle is very loud, too.
All right. Let's move on. Now, this could have been a very good game, in my opinion, but because Gronk isn't going to play, I'm definitely going to give it to New Orleans, only because Amendola is going to get whacked and probably not finish the game. Edelman is somebody that I started to wean away from once I found out that Amendola was coming back, and I thought Gronk was going to come back. But Stephen Ridley returns from his injury, and they're going to try to run the ball with him and LeGarrette Blount and control the clock. So Tom Brady isn't a good play here. New Orleans defense is pretty damn rough. Rob Ryan has taken a 4-3 and turned it to a 3-4, an effective 3-4, quicker than anybody that I've seen switch a team from a 4-3 to a 3-4. I think the defense is outstanding for New Orleans, and Peyton has got Drew and Sproles and Jimmy Graham wide open. Now, the person I'm looking for in this game is Marquise Colston. He's been somewhat invisible. He hasn't had a touchdown all year, but maybe he has. I'm not sure. But he hasn't been that much of a threat. But in this game, him and Aqib Talib are going to have a matchup, and I think Colston's going to win that matchup. So I'm picking New Orleans to go and defeat the Gronkless New England Patriots.
I have to agree with you. I think that's going to happen, too. Enough said.
That's it? Okay.
That's it.
Mike. All right. I guess Mike isn't there. Oh, and I think Ricky's listening to the show because he posted another thing like at 1:30. Whatever. Here's his thoughts on Unanimous, by the way. Just so you know what he did say. He said, I don't need to attack you over a battle that you're beating yourself on. And by Unanimous, that means every owner votes yes. I will always rule majority. Whether I vote. And by the way, he voted against his own system. So he voted to change it. That's what he says.
Okay. So my question is this. Is he going to change it with majority vote, or is he going to change it with a unanimous vote? Or he wants everybody to vote, and if it's a majority, then he'll change it.
That's what it seems like after you cleared it up.
That's what I thought he said. That's originally what I thought he said. He wanted everyone to vote, but he's not going to change it, even if we have a majority and everyone's not voting. He wants everyone to vote one way or the other, and if it's a majority, then he'll change it, not a unanimous vote for all 12. That sounded unrealistic.
Yeah, but you can't use unanimous vote then. You can't do a unanimous vote because that implies everybody votes the same. Right. You have to say that everybody votes or use a different word.
Yeah.
But that's my lexicon.
Man, you still fussing up that stuff with Rick.
Well, I'm glad you decided to come back. We done did three picks.
Oh yeah, what three teams you do? What three games you do? I can run through mine real quick.
We did Jacksonville at Denver because of the points.
Denver.
Yeah. It's a point because nobody they're gonna beat them by 28. Then we did Tennessee at Seattle.
Seattle, because they playing in Seattle.
Correct. Same thing I said. New Orleans at New England without Gronk.
Ooh, now that's the game. That is the game you want to watch. That is going to be a good game. I think New Orleans is going to take that. I think they're going to take that. I mean, they look like, you know, that Super Bowl team again, man. They look really, really good. Really good, man.
Okay. So you pick who?
Huh?
Who did you pick?
New Orleans.
Okay. All right. Next game, which is, it shouldn't be a difficult game, but the way both teams have been playing, you never know. Arizona goes to San Francisco. They got touched the ground the last couple of weeks, San Fran has. And Andre Ellington, running back for Arizona, has pretty much taken the role or the job away from Rashad Penny-Paul.
And who first happened to mention Andre Ellington several weeks ago?
How's your back feel, Jerry?
Excuse me?
How does your back feel?
My back feels fine because I already caught myself on the back when I need to.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so, but with that revelation and Fitz being a little nicked up, I'm going to pick San Fran, and I think San Fran is going to dominate it because they're going to run the ball a lot. And Crabtree's coming back sometime next month. And Manningham's due to come back at the end of this month. So they might be a little dangerous. They might be a little dangerous coming up. With that, let's go, Mike.
Oh, man, this is a tough game to pick. Cause this is a divisional game. Cardinals going to play San Francisco a little bit harder than they normally do. But I'm going to go with the conventional wisdom and say San Francisco should take it. But I think it's going to be a close game.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Same here. I like San Francisco.
All right, now the game everybody, except for one person on this call, is looking forward to. Washington Redskins head down to Dallas, Texas. Dallas looked very, very impressive versus Denver. And I said, and I was almost right, if not for Romo being Romo, that Dallas would defeat Denver because they have just as much talent as Denver does in order to win. Will that same effort show up this Sunday night when the Skins come call? I think they're going to run DeMarco Murray because the Redskins can't tackle. The Redskins cannot tackle. The pass defense isn't that bad, but it's bad. Unfortunately, I have to pick the Cowboys in this. Only because if they can put it together and put up 48 points on Denver, the Redskins are going to have a problem. Only way I see us winning this game is by keeping the ball away from Tony Romo, and that means running the read option with Alfred Morris and RG3. RG3 needs to run the ball and get these guys afraid of him. In a cover two defense, that quarterback is going to sit right there waiting for that pitch. So either the linebacker is going to have to chase down RG3 or the strong safety or safety is going to have to come down and hit RG3. Either way, he needs to run the ball. With that being said, y'all can hate me. Well, my cousin and all my Skins fans can hate me. But I'm going to pick the Cowboys in a very close game. Very close game. Let's go.
IG3 does not need to be running the ball, man. He don't need to be running the ball at no time. He needs to be back there throwing the ball. He really needs to be slinging that ball all around on the field. You seeing them phase out? See what's his name? Davis, because he is just terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is just terrible. I've been saying this for the past 3 years. This dude is not as good as all these people advertising him to be. He not. He don't come back to the quarterback. He don't bail the quarterback out. Nothing. He don't do none of that stuff. And that's the type of stuff that they want. They want, you know, the Redskins tight ends to do. You got the guy Jordan Reed stepping up. Jerry made a good analysis saying that you might want to pick him up. Yeah, you might want to pick him up. Yeah, he was hurt, but you know, he had a couple of weeks to the rest, so he should be back. The Redskins definitely need to run the ball. They need to be getting the ball to Helu, and they need to get the ball to Alfred Morris on the ground in order for them to win. And D'Angelo Hall need to at least try to get into Dez Bryant's head again, like he did last year. So, logically, I cannot say that the Redskins are going to win this game, but, you know, I'm a Redskins fan, true diehard, and I'm going to have to pick them.
All right, JC.
Yeah. Dallas. They're playing in Dallas, right?
Yeah, they're playing in Dallas.
Yep, Dallas.
All right. That was easy. Now, to a Monday night game that is actually looking better now than it does on paper, Indianapolis goes to San Diego. Here's the thing. Ryan Matthews isn't playing. So that means Ronnie Brown and Danny Woodhead are going to be big, big parts of this game. The thing is, which one is going to get more carries, Danny Woodhead or Ronnie Brown? Ronnie Brown is your slammer running back. Danny Woodhead is going to catch the ball out the backfield and be matchup problem, so he should have a good game. We'll see what happens. But Indianapolis, on the other side, their defense is pretty daggone good. I mean, they're playing a 3-4, if I'm not mistaken. And Robert Mathis, who's normally a finger-in-the-dirt pass rusher, is doing a decent job at outside linebacker. Does that mean he's going well in this game? I don't know. They're playing in San Diego. I think San Diego shows up and wins this game.
I like Indianapolis in this game. Chargers are playing with a lot more vigor and stuff like that, but the Colts got now. They got a nice defense. They starting to warm up. Luck is looking good. T.Y. Hilton is even talking a whole lot more smack. Got swag down there. I'm going with the Colts.
Okay.
I have to go with the Colts too. They got a better defense, and I think Andrew Luck is going to handle San Diego's defense. So I have to go with the Colts.
All right, well, that's the last pick. And guess what, fellas? We're on top. We've got 6 minutes left of live air.
So you do the Thursday pick. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Thursday pick.
Seattle at the Cardinals.
Yeah, Arizona. It's going to be a pretty good game, but I think Seattle goes there and handles their business. And Arizona, unfortunately for them, they're stuck in the L zone. They need something. Get a new offensive line. They traded their best offensive line to Pittsburgh. And that's one thing that I didn't bring up when I was talking about the Pittsburgh Jet game. Levi Brown got traded to Pittsburgh. So that's going to help Le'Veon Bell in that game, and it doesn't help Arizona at all. So I'm going to pick Seattle to win that game.
I like Seattle in that game. I think Cardinals going to take two losses. They got two of them coming.
Go ahead.
Oh, you talking to me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I like who's playing?
Cardinals and Seattle, and they playing in where they playing?
Arizona, right?
Arizona, yeah, they playing in Arizona.
It won't make a difference. I like Seattle. It won't make a difference.
All right.
I like.
Well, that's the show.
That's the first.
So.
In a while. That's the first in a while.
I know. Because we don't have all that extra jibber jabber going on. But.
What else?
I want to thank you guys for coming in, especially J.K. Tim Money for finally showing up to do his job. I appreciate you doing your job. Can you let Jermichael Finley go now?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. I'm just making sure. Hit me up if you want to make a trade or not, because Megatron officially goes on sale today.
What's that?
Megatron officially goes on sale today.
Who's selling them?
I am.
Where do you have Megatron?
In my league.
In the neighborhood?
No. Wolverines.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, see. I'm not home yet, so. We'll have to see if I can work something out that's realistic. Not a Vic trade, but a realistic trade.
Okay.
You heard what I said, right? Not a Vic trade, a realistic trade.
I heard what you said. A Vic trade
okay.
is realistic. I didn't give you any credence in responding. That's all.
Okay.
So anyway.
We'll see.
Anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow, Sunday, at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Master Plan JT ATM Money. He has his show. Tomorrow, what are you talking about, JT?
I'll be talking about more sleeper picks, some more sneaky picks. There's still a few of them out there, and I'll definitely be talking about them. Tune in, and believe me, let me tell you something. Let me say this. I do my show between 10 and 11. Sometimes I go over to about 11:30. Then I go watch these other shows, especially the ESPN fantasy show. For the last few weeks, the guys I've been saying to pick up or whatever have been mentioned extensively on the ESPN shows. So I'm not the only one. And it's I'm giving it to you before – a lot of other people are giving it to you when you see this nationwide through ESPN.
So how's your back feel?
No, I'm just saying. You want to be up on your fellow members in your league. So just maybe you should listen to my show, and you may have a leg up before everybody in God's creation and fantasy happens to see it. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay. All right, well, Monday, Sylvia has a very special guest coming on the show. Let me tell you exactly who it is. The former NFL player, NBA veteran, and Derek Anderson. What? Derek Anderson is coming on the show to talk with Sylvia about his book and his NBA career. Sylvia just attended the the NBA Alumni Association or Pro Basketball Alumni Association, which is a group of WNBA players and NBA players that are no longer in the league, and she made a lot of connections on some things. And I want to thank DraftStreet.com for taking interest in our programs, and hopefully we'll work something out with them. Maybe we'll be working with them in the very near future. So DraftStreet, thank you very much, and I look forward to hearing from you. And on Thursday, we have FSP Cruise Show. JT, ATM Money, Black, and Jeff the Joker are going to be discussing that Thursday night game, Seattle at Arizona, along with whatever else happens in the world of sports. Then on Friday, this is what, week number two of the government shutdown? I'm not sure what went on No Chaser last week, but I'm quite sure it might happen again this week. But JT, did Max say what he's going to talk about this week?
That's being white.
Mr. Taylor.
Yeah, what's that now?
Did Max say what he's going to talk about this week?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I got a feeling it's going to be shut down.
Yeah, I can imagine. I'm not exactly sure, but he happened to mention it yesterday, and he did mention it the week before. Yesterday we had a couple guests on promoting a new line of clothing. The week before, we had no guests, and we talked about it. Good. So I'm not sure if we have a guest on this week, but I can guarantee you he's going to mention something like that if it's still in place, shutdown still in place.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm here. Well, that's okay. That's fine. Whatever it is you guys want to talk about, we'll look forward to it on this Friday. Then on Saturday, you're right back here with me again, Mr. FSP, along with JTATM Money. We do what we do. We do it for you. 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're probably going to discuss the UFC fight as well as NFL Week 7. Because the big UFC fight, Cain Velasquez versus Junior Dos Santos 3 for the World Heavyweight title. One won by knockout, one won by decision. And this is the rubber match for the title. We'll see what happens. And I think that's all we're going to talk about. Unless something else major happens in the world of sports that requires us to discuss something. Mike, what do you have planned for Grown Soul and Real Talk?
Grown Soul and Real Talk has been on the road here lately. We going up to Boston, Massachusetts this week. Do some things out there. We were just out in Kansas City. Stay tuned. We got a whole lot of things coming up, and it's gonna just pile right in your face. But y'all, you should check out that fight that's gonna be on tonight. You got a Bradley and Marquez, you know.
Oh,
Bob Arum is, you know, trying to do his best to put that boy on the map. Bradley, he is just horrible. That last fight, I seen him fight with that Russian beat the brakes off of him. Oh, my God. That would be the type of fight that you would like to watch, Victor, because it had absolutely no defense. And it had absolutely no skill, and they were just swinging. I mean, the Russian dude looked like he had some more skills, but, oh, my God, that boy Bradley is terrible. He is horrible. Horrible. You would think that he's some kind of special because they gave him that fight against Pacquiao, but, that dude is terrible. But, you know, I like Marquez. You know, I want to see him win this fight. But if Bradley decides to box, he should win the fight.
speaking of that, and I know we're going over somebody, I didn't really want to, but I was talking with somebody at work, and they were bringing up an interesting thought to me. If Bradley somehow wins this fight, then that would set up a fight between him and Adrian Bonner. And then for
Floyd, listen.
And then the other issue was, if that were to take place and Bonner wins, then for Floyd's last fight would be Bonner versus Floyd, because Bonner has said several times he doesn't want Floyd's last fight to be a loss to him. So he's like jabbing him under the table, but you know, that's something that I think would be a mega fight for Floyd's last fight.
Y'all have no idea what's going on with boxing. Number one, Bradley is under Bob Arum, you know what I mean? And there's a serious cold war going on between Bob Arum and anything that Mayweather does. So you won't see a Mayweather or a Bradley fight. Bonner and Bradley, I don't see that happening either, because the same businessman that is responsible for the growth and the money making of Floyd Mayweather is advising Adrian Broner. So that fight won't happen, and the fight between him and Mayweather will not happen either. That won't happen. It's just not going to happen. The only way that would happen is if Adrian Broner leaves Al Haymon, and I think that would be an extremely dumb move on his part. But, you know, some people are prone to do some bonehead moves or whatever, but I don't see that happening. And I don't see that happening.
All right. That's fine. What do you think about that, Jerry?
You know, I'm actually seeing a fight, let me put it that way. I don't think he's going to fight Bonner. It's already been said that he's not going to fight him. So. Mayweather's going to have to be searching for other guys, Texas, one that he already set up for next year. Hopefully the next flavor of the month he can pick after the fight he's going to have next spring. I'm looking forward to watching Bradley. Hopefully he gets his butt beat, because I'm not a big fan of Bob Arum. So.
Yeah, and that is Bob Arum's boy right about now. That's his boy, because the last fight, man, Bradley was getting it handed to him, man. I was like, what is going on? I mean, he looked like the last fight. If you Google it or, you know, YouTube it, it's Bradley versus Pretnevev or something like that. Bradley,
yeah, the Russian.
He looked like he was punch drunk for at least 6 rounds, and Bradley still won that fight. Oh my God. It was terrible. But Bob Arum is you know, he's a man about his money. Those mega fights with somebody like Mayweather, you know, he's too busy trying to count how much money Mayweather's getting, and you know, that's the reason why the whole Pacquiao fight didn't go down. So you could just best believe that none of his fighters will be fighting Mayweather unless they leave Bob Arum, i.e. like Cotto.
Okay. Well, I didn't think about that fight because that was a good fight. I think it's going to be a Marquez by knockout type fight. So, but you're not going to see Marquez versus Mayweather again. You're not going to see Marquez versus Pacquiao again. If you do, it's for payday. And Bradley, I guarantee if he fights Pacquiao again, Pacquiao will finish him. And you won't be going for no points or style or nothing like that. But I agree with you. Bradley is not
Pacquiao and Bradley? Pacquiao and Bradley?
Yeah.
Bradley doesn't want to see him again, man. He don't want to see him again. He said it.
That's what I just said. I think Pacquiao would finish him instead of, you know, trying to get style points. He'll just go for the knockout and just to prove a point. So I think Bradley's a built-up hype machine. You know, you hype him up, you give him good opponents, he narrowly wins, and, you know, they build him to what he is, and that's about all he can be. But anyway, thank you guys for coming on the show today. We look forward to seeing you next week. What? Jerry, did you say something?
No, I didn't say a word. Nope.
Oh, okay. All right, well, for my boy, JTATM Money, my cousin Mike, and all you guys listening out there, want to thank you, appreciate you. Check us out next week and all of our other programs. By the way, next week we'll be debuting Spot On Radio. I figured out what I'm going to do. We're going to do it. See you guys.
It took you long enough. It took you long enough.
Really? Shut up.
Yeah, bye. Really.
Fantasy, sports, and politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics.